I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. Today we ask the question, how much are people gardening? And what are they buying? Later on, I'll be joined by a man who compiles the top 50 best-selling plants, composts and garden products. It's Trevor Pfeiffer. I'm just back from the Royal Horticultural Society's first London show, and I tell you, there was a bit of steam coming out of ears because they've introduced a £5 charge, even for members. There's so many things in life. Do you know, I'm an AA member. And they've just sent me an atlas after 50 years of subscribing. You know, in the old days, once you'd done 50 years, you got the rest for free. But that's been stripped away. And now with the RHS, our free attendance as members to the London shows, that's gone. And quite honestly, the shows get a little smaller. I'm not so sure I'm happy paying £5 to be sold scented soap and artificial flowers. And there was even somebody there selling tulip bulbs. I mean, the forebears of the RHS must be turning in their grave, I would think. But additionally, I've just been to a really big trial of primroses and polyanthus. I'll try and cover that in a bit greater depth next week. But do have a look out for camellias. They're just coming out into flower, and I think they're going to be stunning this year. This week, I've been planting some asparagus. Some of you may think that's a bit early. We usually plant bare roots in March and April. But I sowed some seeds at this time last year of a variety called Ariane, an F1. If you're going to grow asparagus, be sure that it is an F1 hybrid. They are so much better than the open-seeded kinds. But I grew mine in an 11-centimetre pot. And so now I've got a bit of land that's been very well manured. It's fairly clean. Well, completely clean of perennial weeds. And I can just drop those pot-grown one-year-old seedlings in. There won't be any root disturbance. And with luck, they'll grow pretty well. And I may be able to start cutting a few spears in 2 years' time. You know, you've got to wait for it a bit, I'm afraid. But then once it's in and well-established, you could cut from the bed for at least 20 years or so. You need to just keep on with a little bit of sowing, just a few salads and early veg. At schools, I hope when they come back from the half term that we'll be going and sowing peas. If you sow 5 peas in a little 9-centimetre pot and just germinate them indoors, get them established in a cold frame, you'll be picking pods of peas at least 3 or 4 weeks earlier than usual. And I'm starting to sow one or two of the flowers. Last year, the Antirrhinum, the taller varieties, made wonderful cut flowers. We used to grow about an acre of them when I was on the show circuit. And the best thing about Antirrhinums is that once you cut the main spike, there'll be more shoots come from the base, so you can cut flowers for a good number of weeks. They last well in water. The stems don't sort of make the water smelly in the way that some other flowers do. And additionally, if you buy those varieties which don't have the sort of bunny rabbit flower, the double ones and semi-double ones, you'll find they last much longer in water, and a number of them are fragrant. So either order some plants from one of the mail order specialists, or sow a few seeds straight away. You will need a really good, clean, sterile compost for Antirrhinums, and they'll need all the light you can give them. I have one little news item for you this week. I'm told that the supplies of large flowered gladiolus, especially in the large corm size, and dahlias, are a bit short this year. The very heavy rain we had in early summer really upset production, and stocks, they tell me, are going to sell out pretty quickly. So if you want the big gladiolus that flower early, or you want them for exhibition, then make sure that you've made your purchases or got orders in straight away. And the same with dahlia tubers. Well, I'm very pleased today to have Trevor Pfeiffer with me. Trevor's the man behind the top 50 in gardening. In his weekly GTN, he gives us these figures. Trevor, how do you set about getting these figures? Are they reliable? Can we trust them?
Hello, Peter. Yes, of course you can trust them. We get EPOS data from a number of garden centres. And the key thing we do is we get data from the same garden centres every week. It's a bit like the old music charts. We never disclose who we get the data from, but the data always comes from the same sources. So we know that the week-on-week changes are real and what's actually going on out there in garden centre land.
I find them very useful. I mean, in January, lots of people say to me, what do you people do? Because there's nothing to do in gardens in January. Couldn't be further from the truth, could it?
Oh, absolutely not. Garden centres, particularly those garden centres that got themselves organised and did the change from Christmas back into spring gardening, really quickly, they've really benefited from sales because you know, people go to garden centres for lots of reasons. It might be just to have a cup of coffee, but if the plants are looking good and the products are looking wonderful and they're merchandised beautifully, then who's to stop people buying things?
Well, looking at your 3rd of February lists in front of me now, on the plant side, they're all things that look pretty immediately. Primula, cyclamen, narcissus, hyacinth, snowdrops, hellebores. So is it what they look like at the time or what
people... I think, and judging by, I'm here at Scottsdale's Garden Centre in Cambridge today for other meetings I've been at, and just looking at what people are buying things that are adding instant colour to their garden at this time of the year. You know, hanging baskets full of primroses, formiums to add some colour and some structure. The big thing that's happened in the last 2 or 3 years is the acknowledgement that people are decorating their gardens. And what better way to decorate your garden than to add some colourful plants?
Yes, I mean, when I joined the trade, long time ago now, January and February and early March, they were pretty dead months, you know. We didn't see many customers at all.
Yeah, well, I was at one of the Hillview Garden Centres in Birmingham, at Studley Garden Centre, last week. And Boyd, the owner, the chief executive of the group, had been using our charts to say to his plants teams, look, why haven't we got plants in the garden centre? Other centres are selling them. So they all went out and ordered trolleys of plants from Far Plants and other nurseries. And hey presto, they got some good-looking plants in and they sold them. So it just shows you if you offer people some colour and offer some brightness, they'll go for it.
And it depends on the weather, doesn't it? Last weekend was pretty good for us.
Yes.
And if the sun shines, then people want to get out, don't they?
Yeah, but I think at this time of the year, keen gardeners, even if the weather's not so good, they're happy to come out to garden centres and see what offers they can get. And if they're coming in to buy early bird offers and compost or fertilisers, well, who's to stop them buying some great plants if they're on offer as well?
Well, and looking at your veg to grow chart, it looks as if we're still growing our own pretty enthusiastically.
Oh, certainly. People are planting onions by the barrow load at the moment. The thing that always amazes me, Peter, is the popularity of beetroot bolt hardy seeds.
I know, I can explain that.
Can you?
Yes. And you come across that. A beetroot seed,
yep,
is in clusters.
Right.
It's quite a big lump when you get it out of the packet. And each lump is 2 or 3 seedlings, but people tend to think of it as one seed. And so you don't get that many seeds in a packet, and usually people buy 2 packets.
Ah,
I think you'll find that's
well,
the
that explanation. Might, but the thing that we find is that once we start doing these veg to grow charts from January through to September, for most weeks of the year, beetroot bolt hardy is the most popular seed, veg seed, that people buy.
Yep.
No other beetroots, just beetroot bolt hardy. It just seems to be the one that people go and buy and plant. I mean, I'd love to know what people are doing with all this beetroot.
Well,
I know it's a superfood, but hey, you know, you don't see that much on sale in supermarkets.
Well, there's 2 stories there. I mean, first of all, if you're going to sow it early, you need bolt hardy. Most of the other varieties, if you sow them early and we get a cold check, they run up to seed.
Ah.
And the reason it's called bolt hardy is because it's resistant to bolting.
Right, I'm with you.
A friend of my wife's was chatting to the lady across the road, and the lady across the road talking about somebody else, said, "She's the kind of woman who cooks her own beetroot." And Margaret's friend said, "I cook my own beetroot."
Well,
so I'm not sure what kind of woman it is that cooks her own beetroot, but we cook our own beetroot.
Yeah, well, and we grow our own beetroot as well, and we use it in salads and things. But it just, you know, out of all of the veg seeds that you can buy and grow, it just amazes me how many, because there were more, according to our charts, there were more packs of Thompson & Morgan beetroot Bolt Hardy sold that week, last week, than Taylor's seed potatoes pink fir apple. At this time of the year, I thought people would have been going mad on buying their seed potatoes, and they would be out selling things like that. But
yeah, so would I.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
With the early potatoes, people buy them, set them up in little egg boxes to get them chitted. I would have thought seed potatoes would have been way ahead. Mind you, with the onion sets, which you've got in good number at the top of this chart,
yes,
if you put those in little 24-cell packs and get them growing a bit earlier, then you get much bigger onions because they stop growing about the middle of July. As the days start to shorten, so the onions don't grow anymore. And the sooner you can get them started, the bigger onion you're going to get from each plant.
Yes, and it's interesting that Red Baron, is seems to be the most popular for people to grow at the moment.
Yes.
It has been for the last couple of weeks. So
yeah, I don't understand that either. Although if you go to the supermarket, the red onions, you know, they're in big numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, and it may well be that one of the TV chefs is recommending that you use red onions as opposed to, you know, ordinary onions, as it were.
Well, I saw on your notes that Bacopa, the little white-flowered bedding plant, is selling very well.
Yes.
And I wondered, Richard Jackson on QVC was really giving Bacopa a really good plug our last weekend. So do you think it's possible that has an effect?
Oh, I'm sure I'm sure things like that must do, because it was Bacopa Snowflake that I'd noticed in the data that was selling through particularly well. That surprised me, just because I wouldn't have thought Bacopa particularly would be the first most popular of the plug plants to sell through in quantity.
Nor me, because it's just white-flowered, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'll go with anything, mind, and it's very good in baskets and containers. And then what about the garden media chart? That's the compost.
Growing media, yeah.
Yes. Boy, I always find that interesting.
Well, it's been dominated throughout January by early bird offers.
Oh, right.
Westland's Jack's Magic has sold particularly well. I think King Gardens in particular, where they see that on offer, they just buy it up by the bootload. And also there's Arthur Bower's Multipurpose has been on a special offer. And I'm surprised more garden centres don't do this, actually, because if they get an early bird offer going and it sells really well, you get lots of really satisfied customers by selling it through at a good price early on.
And it gets them going, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we always think that our growing media index, as it were, the total volume sold of the top 50, is a great indicator as to how much gardening is actually going on, you know, how much growing is going on, because if you're growing, you're buying growing media.
Yeah.
And in January, it was up by 12% on last year. So there's the chance that 12% more gardening's happening.
Goodness.
Which is pretty damn good, really.
Yeah, it is amazing.
And looking ahead to February, I've just had a quick look through our charts from last year. And, of course, after the peaks of the early bird offers on multipurpose composts, the next growing media that starts to become very popular is manure. For obvious reasons, I guess people are prepping their veg plots and their beds and just feeding it with whatever they can get hold of.
And they want sort of biggish volumes of that, won't they?
Yeah, and it's interesting, Peter, because I think people are using big volumes of manure and they're buying that. When we first started doing these charts 8 years ago, chicken manure pellets were very popular.
Yes.
They seem to be less popular now. So I think maybe people have switched to digging manure in rather than just spreading chicken manure pellets everywhere.
Yeah. And there was a time on the gardening programmes on TV where they were using chicken pellets all the time, wasn't there?
Yes, yeah.
And you don't see that so much now.
Yeah, maybe Monty's never used chicken pellets for a while.
Yeah, well, he's got his own chickens. Now, when it comes to letters, I've got two this week. First of all, a lady who was downsizing, moving from Wales into Chipping Sodbury, moved into a brand new house and has a very small back garden. It's only 15 feet deep and 30 foot wide, and she's asking for some guidance on what to plant, which must be low maintenance. The whole area has been laid to lawn, and beyond the fence is a row of mature oak trees. Now, that's a pretty tough question, that is. The best bet, where you have these fences very close to the patio doors of a house, is to plant something evergreen, ideally, into the two corners that will sort of cloud out a bit and not emphasise the width. And then if you can put a climber or two on the fence, then that will green that up and soften it into the trees above. But of course, it's a really tough set of conditions. You've got the roots from the tree that are going to take all the moisture. And so in an ideal world, you need a bit of irrigation in there. And ivies would be one of the best plants to go up the fence and completely clad it. Anne has a little narrow border down one side that's been gravelled. That's the perfect place to have some pots of hostas. They'll love it there. And it should be fairly easy to control snugs and snails if the pots are standing on gravel. From a more humorous point of view, there's another question here from a Mr. Rice at Orpington. And his question is, stinging nettle fertiliser. I made it up myself last year and one of the bottles has exploded. Should it be watered down to use? The things you people get up to, hey? Stinging nettle fertiliser. I think it's much better to pick the young greens, cook it and eat it, rather than try and make fertiliser with it. And certainly don't stopper it up in bottles. Sounds pretty dangerous to me. You can subscribe to the Sun Gardening newsletter at sungardening.co.uk. And you can subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.